This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premier Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max. With me, as always,
Travis.
Boom. As we do that intro more and more, I feel like Vampiro. With the way he does his intros.
Yes.
Long sort of rambling. I'm doing his hand motions now. Yeah. What is happening to me?
You've shaved your head.
I shaved my head.
Added some interesting tattoos. I'll call them interesting.
A lot of tattoos. Joined the Guardian Angels. Picked up Krav Maga.
Not the Guardians. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Picked up Krav Maga.
You've
gotta
changed.
Defend yourself.
You've changed, bro.
It's true. Sometimes I say I love you. Sometimes I say I love you more. Great Vampiro work today.
Yeah.
Speaking of Vampiro, I guess, how do we normally start this thing? News and notes?
Yeah.
Anything?
Well, we can say that we've put pen to paper.
We shouldn't say anything just yet.
We can say we've put pen to paper.
Okay.
I'll just stop at that.
We're just continuing to tease. It's an interesting development that we've been teasing for weeks. It marches on, gets closer and closer to reality. So close. Can't wait to reveal what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty exciting stuff. Pretty exciting stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. Are we hyping this up too much?
Well, it could be if it falls through. We are definitely hyping it up too much.
What we should say, what would some people be thinking we might be talking about? We should tell them that's not what it is. We're not going to be on Lucha Underground.
No. And Dario Cueto is not coming to the studio anytime soon.
That's true. But, you know, it's still exciting. Mm-hmm. It's still exciting development.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, though, news and notes?
Well, I had an extended callback today. I was telling you when I came here.
Professional actor Travis Washington
was in the room for a good 20 minutes for a product. They don't usually give you the product, but this one may or may not be Bagel Bites.
Pretty exciting.
It could be pretty cool if it was.
Mm-hmm.
I just know it's something that comes out of the oven, and it's bite size, and it's hot.
Yeah.
Could be tater tots.
But hopefully it's Bagel Bites.
Yeah.
Bagel Bites is obviously putting in some kind of big marketing push at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be involved with Lucha Underground. So they're receptive to
call that a big push.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
I wonder who called who. Did Bagel Bites call Lucha Underground, or did Lucha Underground call Bagel
My
Bites?
Guess is they might have just happened to be at the same restaurant at the same time. That's my guess. I don't think it was like we got to get Bagel Bites. It's just somebody like, oh. Well, yeah. Well, you know, we're looking to expand our marketing campaign.
Is it McCain's or?
I think McCain is just Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Who does Bagel Bites?
Probably Procter & Gamble.
Yeah, yeah. Probably Monsanto. That's a long answer.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's the order.
Yeah.
Keep going up.
The order.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's that. Let's get into the episode.
Most importantly. Violent!
Lucha Underground, Season 3, Episode 30. Start with the recap. Worldwide Underground, talking with Dario Cueto, Tejano, and Brenda. Mil Muertes and Katrina with a little bit of Jeremiah in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we got our last night with friends ECNO. It's good to see. I think Vampiro gave him a nice little salute there. So we will be getting somebody new next week.
Bring back the chimps!
Please, no. That leads us to a medallions match. So here we go. That's
we are
good
not
stuff.
Skipping over the fact
what
that Vampiro was wearing an LRA Network t-shirt. I'm not going to retread this again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of complaining, I'm going to offer some solutions.
Okay.
How about at the end of an episode, you cut to a boardroom at the LRA Network.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting around and maybe they're arguing. One person is like, we cannot, these are criminals.
Yes.
We can't be broadcasting this. Yeah. And then Robert Rodriguez is like, we don't know that they're criminals. Like, I don't ask, don't tell.
Yes.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Okay.
Then I would I could deal
anyways, with it. One of them wants a shirt. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Send them a thing of shirts. Mm-hmm. Or just have one. This one time they cut to Dario's office before maybe the Worldwide Underground comes in, and Robert Rodriguez is there talking to Dario, and they're signing a new agreement. And be like, all right, 15 more episodes, but, you know, you're telling me this is legal, right? And then Dario's like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Or like, you know, back to that boardroom. Criminals, maybe not. But you know what isn't criminal? The ratings.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Then it's all fine. Yeah. Then I'll write t-shirts all you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay. My God.
Yeah. Okay.
Vampiro.
Okay.
Come on, man.
We've come up with a possible. Maybe that did happen behind the scenes. Maybe it'll be on the DVDs, the deleted scenes. Anyways, we get a medallions match. So this is good. Three medallions being given out in this trio's match between Saltador, Paul Onion, and Malice Suerte with the rabbit foot wearing
Did
it.
You say
with
Paul Onion?
Paul London.
Okay. I like Paul Onion.
Yeah, it seems like a good. That seems like that'd be like the Garbage Pail Kids version of, of Lucha Underground.
That would be fun. That'd just be a fun crying. Game. Come up with the
Garbage Pail Kids
versions of all the characters. Prince Poopa.
Poopa. Pentagon Smark. He's just like kind of got a neck Smart. Beard.
Pentagon.
And a Bullet Club t-shirt.
That's pretty good, actually. That's really on brand.
Yeah.
Mill Sweat. For some reason, I want to say
Sweaties.
I don't
mill
know.
Sweaties.
Mill Sweaters.
PJ okay, well Whack.
Yeah, PJ Whack. That ran out of steam real fast. Mm-hmm. Just like Garbage Pail Kids.
No, hey, they're still making Garbage Pail Kids.
That's crazy.
They've still got a devoted following.
That bit peaked with Prince Poopa.
Yeah. Anyways, these three are taking on Taya, Ricky Mandel, and PJ Black. Jack Evans is there with a Rebus, which we had to freeze frame.
That's right.
And it's Pindejo equals the Believers, Pindejo. Mm-hmm. So we did a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm, because we don't speak Spanish.
No.
I was surprised that Vampiro didn't pick up on it.
Uh-huh,
he does.
It was up there pretty quick, too. And it was a little like
we
you
did
really
have to freeze
Yeah.
But what does it mean?
It means a stupid person. Pendejo. Pendejo. Pendejo means a stupid person.
Mm-hmm.
So he's insulting the Believers. I didn't think it was complimentary.
No, I kind of figured.
So Saltador starts with a little dance. I thought it was pretty funny. It's him and Taya to start. And she calls him a pervert after he pushes her off on the butt.
These guys, the Rabbit Tribe, I've never felt like have been portrayed as sort of pervy.
No.
This, for some reason in this match, it kind of came across that way.
Had they been involved in intergender before? I don't know.
That's an interesting question. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. Maybe they've just been, when you think about rabbits, right? Want to fuck like rabbits.
That's right.
Right? Wow. So maybe it makes sense. Sorry. Uh-huh. Sorry for the colorful language.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, this match, I mean,
it was
at first there was a few rough little maneuvers there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite seem like they were, the timing was a little off, I'd say. But Paul London, always fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is probably the most personality we've seen out of Saltador as well.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know. Any lingering thoughts from this?
Standout. Well, I mean, they did their circle spot again around Ricky Mandel, which didn't really do anything for me. But Saltador had that fun little flip spot off of the apron where we went from the side. That was pretty cool.
That was really good, yeah.
And Paul Lennon hitting that moonsault for the win was pretty good, too.
That was a beautiful moonsault. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, they mentioned that Ricky Mandel was a recent DeVry graduate. Now,
I missed that.
Yeah,
That's funny.
Is that a shoot? What is the DeVry? I know
Like community college. Go to get a certain trade, right? I think it's meant to be, if it is a shoot, it is, but I still think it's meant to be kind of a subtle insult kind of thing. He's not particularly smart. And he's like, we're a DeVry graduate.
No,
you know what I mean?
Like, not a lot of competition.
School. It's like, it may as well be clown college. I'm not saying, I apologize to any DeVry graduates out there. I'm just trying to put in the context of what I believe to be the context of that line.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was okay. But we got three medallions awarded to all the members of the Rabbit Tribe. So they will be in... that gives them... I'm assuming that'll be their Ultima Lucha Trace match.
Oh,
eventually, if these other medallions should be given out in the next...
There's seven in total?
Six or seven. Yep.
Seven in total, so that's three. So there's four more still out there.
Right.
I can see, you know, no disrespect to the character of Mala Suerte or Saltador, but I don't really see them as potential Gift of the Gods champs. But Paul London?
Very much
could
so.
Be. That could be a nice little thing for him, you know? Elevate his character, make him a little bit of a threat, give him that Gift of the Gods championship.
Mm-hmm.
Could be fun.
Yep. Next, we see old Agent Benji's with Worldwide Underground, giving the losers another chance, basically. Johnny Mundo says, you guys need to step up. Benji says they need to run off for some photo ops. He's like, not more sick kids, is it? It says something about him having a heart of gold. Yeah, whatever.
How do you think the story of the agent is going to play out? Is it going to cause a rift?
I think so.
Between Lucha Underground and... I think
there's already evidence of that.
Yeah.
He's kind of getting the special treatment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And do you think we'll end up seeing maybe a lonesome Johnny Mundo?
Quite possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With no gold. Like, he's lost his friends and he's lost his gold. I think that's kind of how this
rock
has
bottom.
To, yep.
Hits rock bottom.
Rick Batam.
Could be an opportunity for a face turn.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe. I prefer him as a heel.
Me too. He really started as a face.
Yeah. Yeah. So that brings us to our next match, which I thought was the best match of the night. Jeremiah Crane versus Mil Muertes.
Wait, before we move on. Sorry. In that backstage sequence, Mundo was talking about all the other opportunities that have been presented to him, including other underground fighting leagues, which I liked a lot. Because I felt like it was sort of one of the rare times when Lucha Underground is like just is being self-aware of the campiness of it all.
Yeah, maybe that's like a big contributor to Boyle Heights is GDP is all underground fighting.
Yeah, that's right.
And the tourism attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I just wanted to touch on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Mill cuts off Jeremiah Crane's entrance short. Then they start to brawl at the top of the stairs. The match hadn't even begun. They went to break and came back, and we learned that Dario's made it a no DQ. And we don't know where they are, but then we find out that as they're smashed through the doors, as Jeremiah Crane is smashed
best
through the door.
Best moment of the night.
Yeah,
best
it was pretty
moment
awesome.
Of the night.
Pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mil Muertes grabs Jeremiah Crane atop the office, kind of teases they're going to throw him off, but ends up back into the bleachers. Looks like Jeremiah Crane may have used a purse on...
I'm not sure what that was.
Yeah.
Happened so fast.
Yeah, and they finally head down to the ring. There's really good heat here. Jeremiah Crane tries to hit a tope that Mil no sells out to the ring, and then Jeremiah Crane is thrown into the seats. Nice kick exchange between the two, setting up that gross spit spot before he dropped. I think that was just extended. And like, how does a man have so much saliva at one time?
It's so gross.
It was so
gross. It's got to be genetic, and that's why he started. He probably didn't even realize he could generate that much phlegm until he started wrestling.
And I'd like to move on. I'd like to move on. This is kind of grossing me out as we talk about it.
That would be my one question, though, for our upcoming segment, One Question With. I'd be like... When did you realize you could create that much spit?
Oh my god, enough.
Are you really?
It really grosses me out. That shit really grosses me out. It's so gross. So gross.
Wow, you guys, you have no idea what I'm looking at here. He is squirming. This is legitimate. This is not a
bad Anyways, thing. Jeremiah Crane is thrown into to more seats. Mil Muertes throws some chairs into the ring. I should mention Jeremiah does his lap, but Mil Muertes catches him with a nice spear. Notice Jeremiah Crane didn't quite have the same speed he usually does when he's on the offense when he got caught there, which is kind of protecting himself there, probably for the best.
Sure, and they didn't call the spear the Trident's Reaper either.
No, you're right. Yeah. It wasn't, I don't think it was quite, it was just more of like a kind of catch into a tackle. Anyways, when they get into the ring and Mil Muertes sets up those chairs sitting upright, and you see that nasty drop onto the top of the chairs, I don't know how that's... Not a potential for a career shortener.
When he set up the chairs, sort of like standing,
yeah,
and they dropped him on him like they were like impaling him on a pike or something.
Mm-hmm.
That was I injured my back recently,
yeah,
and let me tell you, it sucks.
Yeah,
constant discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, it was just like...
Flashbacks?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Just awful.
Really?
I don't know how these guys don't have serious back problems constantly.
Yeah.
I injured my back, Travis, in my kitchen.
Yes. It's always, whenever you hurt your back, it's always the dumbest thing.
I thought I left a thing of paper towels on top of the cabinets, and I couldn't see that high, so I just leapt straight up.
Uh-huh.
And when I landed, yeah, it was like somebody lit a match in my back.
Oof.
Didn't worry about it until woke up the next day. It felt like I'd been wrapped in rebar. Oh,
jeepers creepers.
Yeah, totally. Rough. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be spiked on those chairs like that.
I don't know.
How the hell do they know how to fall? How do you learn how to fall from that?
How do you learn how to fall on that?
Yeah, yeah.
God, it looked brutal. Right on the lumbar.
Yeah, nasty.
Yeah.
Mil Muertes sets up a chair in the corner, hits Jeremiah Crane with one of them, but then Mil Muertes is thrown into the chair in the turnbuckle there. Jeremiah Crane with four chair shots to Mil Muertes' back or head region. I don't think there was any too many direct headshots with chairs today, so I guess that's good. it was still really hard hitting match.
Oh my god!
Sets up a chair over Mil Muertes, hits another one on top, which makes a loud noise, but doesn't look as nasty as some of the other things.
Mm-hmm. I got to commend Jeremiah Crane's
facials.
Selling.
I had that mentioned earlier.
I think it has something to do with his haircut.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this face that every time it changes so dramatically with his expressions and with camera angles, he doesn't look like the same person. Every time they cut to him, he looks like somebody completely different to me. And some of the times when he had just taken a huge move and was on the ground, his face kind of looked like all pudgy and messed up, and he kind of looked bald. It just looked like he looked like a serious accident victim.
Yes.
Made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was awesome.
He's good.
I
don't know how I feel about him having a J on his gear.
Interesting. Yeah,
it's like a kinda, J. Why?
Yeah.
Why would you put a J on there? I mean, why would Mil Muertes put an M on his mask? But this is something about that. It's a little weird to me.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking. I think I get it. That's when we saw that really great fan reaction when he hits the chair.
Never seen anything like that.
That was pretty funny. I think I saw a GIF of that online.
Oh, good.
Before this. Jeremiah Crane sets up a table. And before he can really get going, Mil Muertes hits that awesome spear through the ropes that kind of lands on the table, but not really. Just another crazy spot.
But and if they meant to put them through the table, and then didn't, they recovered so well because he just stood up
and power bombed them through another one. Yeah, right, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's a pro, man. That's Jeremiah Crane catches a spear into a dragon sleeper. There's just really good back and forth here. It works with their story too about what had been built up to this point, especially some of the stuff post match. Mil Muertes fights back, choke slam for a near fall. Jeremiah Crane running kind of cannonball into the corner, barely breaks the table in the corner. Yeah, like I said, another near fall. Finally, Mil Muertes catches Jeremiah Crane off the top to hit the flatliner, nasty flatliner for the win. I went 3.25 on this. Hard hitting, believable violence. And I think some of that sloppiness helped because of how hard hitting it was.
Totally. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. At any time, if there was any. There were times when some of the moves were just maybe weren't as accurate as maybe they wanted to be, but they recovered so well that it made the whole thing just come across as more authentic and more of a brawl. I loved it. That was a great match.
Me too. Post-match, Katrina enters instead of the lick, gives a tongue kiss to Jeremiah Crane.
How did that make you feel knowing how much saliva Jeremiah Crane...
Please stop. That's not bad. I enjoy a nice tongue kiss.
This is so gorgeous.
And then Muertes right after that kind of kicks him in the face and hits another nasty flatliner.
That flatliner was brutal.
Jeremiah really sells those well and makes it look like he's going right on the noggin there.
Mm-hmm.
Really good match.
For sure. This would be a great time to take a break and hear from my friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes, and while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
So we're going to do things a little differently today. Instead of naming a new chief, I'd mentioned on Twitter that as I was cleaning up the house, I had that that riff just playing over and over in my head. And that's when I first realized that they're just kind of ripping off the Law and Order theme song and then just kind of adding a little riff on the end. It's a pastiche, shall we say.
Yeah.
So I came up with a theme song for Lucha City Nights.
Here we go. Do you sing it to the sound?
I think you'd need to make... I don't think it's going to work if you keep hitting it because it goes through like four things of it. If you want to try to time it for the last line.
No, I think it will get...
I think we'll just leave it. We'll just leave it. Now, you guys know the general tune, but...
So Travis is going to sing a song...
The not just any song, the theme song
for
Lucha City Nights.
All right, take it away.
There's no law and order, not in our days nor in our nights. Luchadors and luchadoras running wild through Boyle Heights. We got Chiefs Ryan and Cortez reading you your rights. It's not law and order, no, it's the Lucha City Nights. Boom, boom.
Pretty good.
I think so.
Nice. Get some synthesizer in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just some electric drums.
Boom, 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 mm-hmm. boom.
Yeah, could be good. Who knows?
Violence.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, this is going to be a short episode at the rate that we are going.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of notes for this last one.
Mm.
What do you want to talk about? Life?
A life.
Max has got some this time next week. Things that Max is gonna be sweating. His heart's gonna be pounding.
That's right. In 7 days, this time, days from when we're recording it, recording this, we will be 9 minutes into my wedding ceremony.
Pretty exciting.
Mental.
Pretty mental. Exciting.
So that means I might not be here next week, but yeah. Travis has got some ideas for what to do without me. You're going to speak at the wedding?
If you'd like me to.
Yeah. I asked you at the bachelor party, but you probably don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you just tell me what direction you'd like me to head in, and I'll go there.
You got 5 minutes. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just run over this
next match.
This episode.
Yeah. This whole episode. Sure. Totally.
All right. I'll just sing the theme song to Lucha City Nights.
God.
So our next segment after we come back is Dario Cueto's office, and enter FBI agent Winter. He said his last name was, I think. He says they have similar interests. Here we learn that Dario didn't know about Delgado getting the old face smashy. And this FBI agent says he's Delgado's replacement. And he mentions here, we first hear the order. Mm-hmm. Like it sounded like it's the people in charge. They mentioned our friend in the limo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that might hurt your time traveling Cage thing, because they do refer to Cage as a separate entity.
Yes.
In this conversation.
Yes, this is true.
I don't want to break your heart here.
I know. I begin to think more too. You know, when you talk about when in the final scene of this episode too, they talk about how gauntlets are the way for gods to enter this realm.
There you go.
So I would think that the guy in the limo
has another gauntlet.
Is his because he's got that hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the metal hand. Mm-hmm. He has a gauntlet as well. So he's already one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cage is going to become one, maybe. And then we can expect more
madness, more face smashing and eyeball squishes.
That's right.
A really kind of ominous and cryptic quote. It feels like he's saying it from some sort of scripture or something. You know, he says something like, alas, his flesh will fry like the rest of us or something. It's just, blee, blee. This is, it's getting biblical.
Now, I would like to believe that they have like a 5-year plan and maybe this will amount to something. But, you know, I'm a little nervous. This is all just...
Well, they're starting to go back to these threads that we had been talking about that they hadn't been. So I feel like there is direction here. We're in the home stretch, and
certainly for this season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally, they say something like, "We're going to do whatever it takes to make sure the gods rule again."
Mm-hmm.
So wowzers.
Dario doesn't seem particularly into it either. You know, he's very cautious. He's very guarded about the whole thing. He's choosing his words very carefully. He's not doing anything. He's not being confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the agent leaves, he has a very dedicated moment for sort of, I don't know what exactly is happening there.
Yeah.
He picks up his bull. He puts it to his own head.
Yeah.
Planning his next move, you know, contemplative.
Yeah. So. Well, he just learned that a friend of his died.
That's true.
Anywho, yeah, interesting stuff. Raises questions, which is
all we want.
Yeah. Keeps things interesting. That leads us to the main.
And he leaves with a later gator.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Later gator.
Choice of dialogue. I don't know if there's anything to read into there. Not probably not.
Animals and stuff, you know. There's always something to do with animals.
Yeah, that's going
to
be Dario Cueto's luchador will be an alligator when he finally enters the ring.
Maybe we could see, maybe Winters is part of the reptile tribe.
Maybe. Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Later, gator.
The end of that.
Main event of the night.
Wait, do you think that guy is he a wrestler or is he an actor?
He's an actor.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't recognize him as a...
Don't recognize him as a wrestler. And plus, he was a little too good. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
Main event. Tejano versus Pentagon Dark. Last of the... or I guess the second... these are quarterfinals we're at now? Yeah.
Yeah.
We see Tejano's little section of his family members are back with their signs. And early on here, I wrote this down. I get the feeling Tejano is somebody who's really safe to work with. We were seeing that kind of recklessness that worked in the PJ and Mel Muertes match before. But with this, you never get the concern that even with some of the high spots and stuff, that anybody was kind of landing wrong, which is, you know, good.
Mm-hmm. He's, I hear he's pillowy soft as well.
That's
he's basically just a sponge.
Yeah. I mean, and there can be a problem. Like, there are times when it does look a little too soft, but I like his moveset. I like his offense. Pentagon and Tejano exchanging flips to the outside to start. Enter Famous B and Brenda. Get those three sling blade clotheslines from Pentagon, and then Tejano follows us up with those kind of three chops into clotheslines that he does. I like that they kind of juxtapose those two little sequences. Pentagon hits what Stryker calls a rope-assisted lung blower, which looked pretty good. Really cool kind of leg submission hold from Tejano. Famous B and Brenda are very vocal on the outside. So I wrote, I like Tejano's offense. Leads to the finish with Famous B gets a horseshoe, throws it in, but Pentagon Dark gets it and punches Tejano for the win.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. I think I would have given them three or four more minutes. At least I could have done with three or four more minutes of what they were doing.
I needed something to make me believe that Tejano
had a
chance, was going to win this match. Because everything they do, this whole show, one of the, you know, if you look at the landscape or if there was like a, you know, a power ranking or something like that, we all know Pentagon is higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was never a moment where I felt like there was any reason given to believe that Tejano could win. Maybe that's what they were trying to do with the Golden Horseshoe, but
it came a little too late.
It came in late and it went right to Pentagon, who just picked it up and smashed Tejano. Yeah. Why not? You know, you can insert a variable like that into a match, and then you can play with it a little bit more with people's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Tejano has it. Somehow he loses it to Pentagon, and then he gets it back, and then Pentagon somehow gets it back, and then Pentagon uses it.
That's what I said. If we could give him a couple more minutes, I think we could have had a bit more drama here.
Mm-hmm.
So, post-match, Pentagon Dark grabs Tejano's arm. Famous B comes in and in his great cowboy voice, saying things like, get!
Famous B is doing a great job.
I agree. Talk about great facials. So when Pentagon grabs Famous B's arm and snaps it, that's when we see some great facials and a really good arm sell, the way he had his arm kind of twisted around.
Yes.
The Famous B. And Brenda goes to tend to Famous B, and I'm like, oh no. Pentagon Dark comes back and breaks Brenda's arm.
Oh my God, bro. He could have killed her.
So an unsettling scene to leave the ring, because she was not selling as much, and there's something about that makes it a little more, you know, kind of ooey.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so pretty. I don't know what that says about me, but I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was... I was expecting Tejano to jump in and save her.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen.
And then that could have, you know, finally, okay, I am aligned with you guys now.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not what happened. No. And you know what? I liked it better.
Yeah.
I liked it better the way it is.
And it does work. Yeah,
totally. I mean,
this is who Pentagon is.
You know what's, there's something so strange about Pentagon and how everybody is so into him, even though he does these horrible things to people. Yeah. And his catchphrase, you know, is like, zero fear. He really does operate with zero fear.
Zero scruples, I'd say.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got zero fear of the consequences of, like, what will the crowd, how will they react if I break Brenda's arm? Or who's going to come and avenge Brenda? I don't care.
He's looking for those pops. He's like, you know what?
I don't know.
Kayfabe-wise, is this guy?
Both. I think it just works in both ways. It's just like, he just does whatever. He's a horrible person.
He is. And they love him for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I guess I'm okay with that.
You know, it's like Kevin Banner said the other day, you'll get pops for doing things that are new.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as a true heel, you can't be an innovator in a way, because people, they'll love you for doing something new. Mm-hmm. And I think that just having the gall to go and break Brenda's arm is, even though there's no way a good person would do that, but it's just something that nobody would ever have expected or can believe is even happening.
Yeah.
And because they're breaking through that sort of taboo, it's new.
Yeah, you see,
I get the pop.
I see somebody like Elias Sampson is doing something new, but it's not excessively violent, and he's getting real heat. I love the Elias Sampson heat these days.
Yeah, I haven't watched
it. Yeah, yeah, no, it's worth it. It's good for the second he enters the stage. And so, same thing with, like, you know, our friend Banner was talking about how there were plans for WWE to put the strap on Eva Marie and how grossed out he was be by that. And I love that idea. That would have got huge heat. It's so hard to get legitimate heat these days. So I think, and the audience has changed. And I think what people used to see as X-Pac heat, in which you were just like booing them so much that you just want them to leave.
Yeah.
You just don't want to see them. I think that there's a way that you can transform that into like some real anger out of the crowd now. Cause everyone thinks they're so smart and so above and feel like they want to cheer the bad guys and all this.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't really care about heat that much. I think that it's to be that true heel, utterly hated, despised heel is the most difficult thing to pull off in professional wrestling.
Nowadays, it's even more difficult now.
Yeah, it may have been in the past, like, maybe the easiest, but I think in the current like cultural landscape, it's by far the hardest thing. And I don't know if even the most talented wrestlers could do it with in a calculated way.
Sure,
somebody might stumble upon it, but I don't think that. I don't think it's easy. But like, I'm totally comfortable with a wrestling landscape where there are no true heels or true baby faces anymore. You know, that seems to work. Just fine for in Lucha Underground, and except for maybe Masquerita Sagrada.
No, we've talked. There are lots of pure baby faces in Lucha Underground.
The Mac, yeah.
Oh, Phoenix, everybody, Phoenix, man. Aerostar, come on.
Yes, this is true.
So we had finally our kind of go home sequence here. We are back in Captain Vasquez's office. Somebody tells her that someone named Katrina is here to see you. Mm. And she bamps her way in like she always does. She says, who said I need your help? It was Vasquez, right? Or was it Katrina?
Katrina.
Yeah. They say the gods are uniting. Do not save me. I'm just getting, like, there's a lot, again, more exposition kind of getting filled in here. Gauntlet is the gateway to the gods. I gave you life, Katrina, twice. Only Mil Muertes can get the gauntlet from Cage. They explain the medallion halves here. And finally, Katrina says, it seems we have a deal, mother.
Yeah, that was great.
Great little cliffhanger revealing more of their connection. Crazy stuff.
And I guess they're both immortal because they have their...
the two sides of the medallions. And only then can they embrace sweet death if they put it together.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, we're gearing up here for Cage versus Muertes.
Yeah.
But which I guess could... Muertes would still need to conclude this tournament.
Yep.
And Cage doesn't really have any sort of belt or anything at the moment. So maybe we're looking at this is definitely going to be post-tournament, I would think.
Yeah, I think it's pencil it in for Ultima Lucha Trace for the two.
Would be a great match.
Yep.
Love to watch it. Yeah.
Solid up. One really great match. Lots of moving plot and, kind of making go, huh? Oh, a lot of that.
Who else is in the finals that we have yet to see?
One sec.
We got Puma versus
Phoenix is next week,
right? That'll be great.
Yep. And who's on the other side? Let me see.
Is it Puma versus Phoenix?
No, Puma versus... no, it is. No, Phoenix versus... yeah, no, it's Puma versus Phoenix, I think.
Premier. Lucha Underground.
Yes.
After show.
Yeah, I guess that's the semifinal. We're down to the two semifinals. It's Puma Phoenix,
okay.
And Pentagon and Mel Muertes.
Okay. There we go. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And how are we doing in the standings?
Everybody guessed right today.
Movement.
These were the big ones. Were these 4 points or 2 points? Oh yeah, no. Each of these was 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
I am at, we'll go from the bottom again. There's no change in the leaderboard. We got Christopher, Andrew Kent at 30, Max and Chad at 31, myself and Stefan Adamus at 32, and our beloved Robert Charlton, Bobby C at 34.
All right, everybody. How can people find us on social media?
On Twitter, search for @Lucha_AfterGrund, or just search for Lucha Afterground. Follow us, follow Place to Be Nation Network, or look up placetobenation.com, wherever you find your podcasts and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, keep just tell your friends.
All right. We'll be here next week, or Travis will be, definitely. I might be. We'll find out. But the question is, or wait a second.
We'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?